When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Second and goal, 10 seconds. Daniels fires, end zone!
Never in doubt. Never in doubt. Not with that kid at quarterback. My God, how good is Jaden Daniels? Good morning. Chris is in for Denton. What a game. One of those games where it's hard to even know where to start in talking about it because there was so much to it. But you can't go wrong starting with him. You know, we're all witnessing one of the greatest seasons in NFL history for a rookie quarterback. 2 weeks from now, we'll probably say that was the greatest season a rookie quarterback has ever had. Of all the gems that he's had this year, I think yesterday was his masterpiece. You know, although I don't know, can a masterpiece have imperfections because it wasn't perfect? I don't know. But considering the opponent and how much he had to overcome in that game, you could certainly consider yesterday to be his best. Although he has given us many choices of great games to choose from this year. He was the best player on the field yesterday. He may have been the best player on any field yesterday. He became the first rookie and just the second quarterback in NFL history to throw for at least 250, run for at least 75, and throw five touchdown passes in the process. Cam Newton did it during his MVP season back in 2015. His fourth down runs, including the 4th-and-11 at the end of the third quarter, are plays that, you know, two or three guys can make in the game today. And with the game on the line, he delivered. Again, his second game-winning touchdown pass of the season with under 30 seconds to go. That's a first ever for a rookie quarterback. 1:52 left, 43-yard line, one time out, no sweat. I mean, I don't think he sweats. The command, the calm, the football IQ is astounding for a rookie at that position. His understanding of game situation, score, time left, how many timeouts you have, the field position, down distance, all of that, the IQ that he has in those situations, we've seen it all year long. He delivered when they needed him to deliver again. 4 for 4 on that final drive for 43 yards, not counting the one play where he clocked it. He rushed for 14 crucial yards. You know, we've seen it. We saw it in week 2 against the Giants, tie game down the field for a game-winning field goal. We saw it, remember, with the throw to Terry in Cincinnati. Cincinnati the following Monday night. There was that Hail Mary. I think we will never forget that one. The near miracle that he had on the 86-yard touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin. If they could have just kicked a GD extra point, you would have been going to overtime in that game. And then yesterday happened as well. He's special. So special. And he was again yesterday against arguably the best defense in the league. Jalen Hurts was out, but he doesn't play defense. He threw 5 touchdown passes. 5. The most for a quarterback in this franchise since Mark Rippon in the 91 Super Bowl season, when Rip threw 6 against the Falcons on a rainy day at RFK. He wasn't perfect in this game. You know, he threw 2 interceptions, one of them damaging with about 3 minutes to go. And the fine line of NFL games, right? Devontae Smith, if he catches a ball right in his hands, wide open on 3rd and 5, it's near game over, and we never get a chance to see the final drive. What was amazing about yesterday's performance wasn't just the opponent. It was the fact that he had no support offensively. They could not run the football at all other than him. They did everything in that game in terms of good and contributing to the win with his right arm and his 2 legs. He's an elite level scrambler. I mentioned this maybe a month and a half ago when I said, and I forget which game it was after, he was insane as a scrambler in a game. He's been that all year long. And I said, this guy's scrambling ability is so high level elite. You've got to already put him into the category of one of the best you've ever seen. You know, today's game, we've got Lamar, we've got Josh Allen, we've got Mahomes. Lamar really, and Allen being the 2 best. He's right there with both of them as a scrambler. He's right there with Michael Vick. He's right there with Steve Young. He's right there, for those of you old enough to remember, Fran Tarkington, Roger Staubach. His vision and feel. This is why during the offseason when we talked about Jaden Daniels and some were comparing him to Robert Griffin III, I said, no. He's got eyes everywhere. He has great feel. He's got great athletic feel and vision. He knows where the bodies are coming from. He has great wiggle. He's not a straight line speed guy. And he doesn't even need to scramble. Of course, that's part of the cheat code for him. 81 yards on 9 carries. All 81 of them. So huge. Yeah, there was a designed run or two, an option run or two mixed in. But the scrambling, the 4th and 11, that may have been the play of the game. It's late 3rd quarter. What coach goes for 4th and 11 in the 3rd quarter? What did the analytics say on that one? But when you have him and you're down 13, you're not thinking about missing. You're thinking about putting the game in his hands. Unbelievable, the 4th and 11. The pressure looks like trouble. No, there isn't. Looks like there's a chance he might get sacked. No, he's not going to get sacked. He's already, through 15 games of his young career, one of the greatest scrambling quarterbacks I have ever seen. And that's not his best feature. Overcoming that defense yesterday, that Philadelphia defense, they hadn't given up more than 2 touchdown passes in a game this year. He had 5. They overcame 5 turnovers in the game. 3 lost fumbles. 2 by Brian Robinson Jr. They overcame a day defensively where they got torched early, and then all of a sudden they played better, of course, against the backup quarterback, but there were calls that seemed to go against them over and over again in coverage in particular. He threw 2 bad picks in the game. But guess what? That happens against Philadelphia. They're really good. Nobody's perfect or has been against the Eagles. The key is what happened when he got the ball back. Thank you, Devontae Smith, for your first drop of the season. They have 10 wins with this guy, and an 11th will clinch a playoff berth. It could come Sunday night against Atlanta, but they did something yesterday that we talked about all last week. They made a statement. They didn't have to win yesterday to be very alive for a playoff berth, but they needed to beat a team with a winning record. They needed to beat a good team. We're going to talk about Jalen Hurts leaving the game. We're going to talk about C.J. Gardner-Johnson leaving the game. I understand these things were big. Jalen Hurts, by the way, does not play defense for Philadelphia. They made a statement yesterday that they are a good team, that they aren't just getting by with great quarterback play, but really they're not very good around him. They are a good team. They've been a good team. They're very good offensively. And yesterday, they proved that by beating a good team, a hampered good team after 5 minutes of the first quarter. But they beat a defense scoring 36 in the game with a quarterback having an absolute brilliant day. As far as the playoffs go, the situation is simple. Win one of the final two and you're in. Now, as far as the division goes, they're still alive. Philadelphia would have to lose to Dallas and the Giants. Washington would have to beat Atlanta and Dallas. If that happens, Washington would win the NFC East. I'm not saying it's impossible, but the Giants appear to be basically tanking their season. So for the Eagles, that season finale against the Giants, even if they don't have their starting quarterback, by the way, in addition to Jalen Hurts getting hurt, did you know that Kenny Pickett got hurt in the game as well? He had a rib injury. He went for x-rays after the game. So if the Eagles end up in a little bit of quarterback trouble here down the stretch, it gives you hope, but I think the hope would be snuffed out by a Giants team really trying to grab that first pick in the NFL draft. They appear to be tanking big time here down the stretch. They do not want to give up very valuable draft position for probably their next GM and head coach and a potential shot at the number one quarterback in the draft, whomever you think that is. Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, I don't know. As far as the division goes, major long shot. As far as the playoffs go, win one, you're in. They could still lose two and get in, but you've got the Atlanta-Tampa situation, all right? Tampa lost last night to Dallas. That's a big deal. But if Tampa were to win their final two and Atlanta were to win their final two and Washington were to lose to Dallas and Atlanta, Washington would be out. But there's still a chance. You know, Atlanta plays Washington, then they finish with Carolina. Tampa plays New Orleans and Carolina to finish up the season. Or Carolina and then New Orleans to finish up the season. Win one, you're in as the 7 seed minimum. Win two, and the 6 seed is very much in play. Green Bay is a half game ahead of Washington. Washington would win every tiebreaker with Green Bay to get the 6 seed if they were to win their final two to get to 12 wins. 12-5 is a possibility. Dallas is playing pretty well. They're eliminated, but they're still playing pretty good football right now. So that season finale in Dallas, if you have to win it, be nice to take care of business on Sunday night against the Falcons. But a half game back of the Packers still, after New Orleans tonight, on a short week, have to go to Minnesota Sunday. Minnesota's still battling for the division. So you finish in a tie with Green Bay, you get the 6, and then you don't have to play, more likely than not, Philadelphia in the first round at the Link. You would get, more likely, at that point, the Rams on the road in a 3-6 game. 2-7, you're probably playing Philadelphia. 3-6, you're probably playing the Rams. That's the way it looks right now. Wow. What a football game yesterday. I have a long game take. So much to get to. But this game is memorable for a lot of reasons. But the biggest reason is Jaden Daniels. He was incredible. I don't need to see a PFF grade to know that they had no chance in that game without him. This is a season, as I said, it's going to be historic when it's all over for this guy. They're 10-5. We can be honest with each other. They'd have 5 wins. They'd be 5-10 without him. Maybe not even that good. As I mentioned, first quarterback to have 2 game-winning touchdown passes in the final 30 seconds of a game. He became the first rookie and just the second quarterback ever. 250, 70+, 75+, and 5 touchdowns in a game. He's on the verge of breaking the single-season rushing mark for a rookie quarterback. Cam Newton had 706 yards in 2011. He's passed him for 2nd on the list. He's chasing down one RG3 who had 815 in 212. So he's 79 yards. Let's see. 815, 737, 63, 15, 78, 78, tying 79 to become the all-time rookie rusher. His 10th win and his 3,303 passing yards, 737 rushing yards through the 15 games is the second. He became the second rookie starting quarterback in NFL history behind Andrew Luck to record a combined 4,000 passing and rushing yards while winning at least 10 games. There's so much, it seems, to come. I know just 2 regular season games, but hopefully another game or 2 after that. He's unbelievable. And for those that really don't or push back, and I'm not saying that there isn't many ways to, you know, to develop a good football team and a sustained winner, but the number one way to get there is quarterback. And they have one. And it's clear. We don't have to wait for all 17. We've known it for a while. After 15 games, though, it's 100% that they got it right. All right, my game take when we come back. I'll give you what I liked, what I didn't like from the game. Lots of other sort of observations from the game. There was so much to this game. So many moments that seemed like they were turning points only to be sort of outdone a few minutes later or a few plays later by another play. A fine line game, you know, from Jalen Hurts getting hurt and leaving the game to clearly the Devontae Smith drop on 3rd and 5 on Philly's last offensive possession. But Washington hung in there. They were resilient. They were down by 14 twice. They were down by 13 once. They were down by 5 with 1:52 to go. And they won an absolute epic against the Eagles, 36-33, to win their 10th game for the first time since 2012, and now a chance to win an 11th in a regular season for the first time since the great 91 team. Every other team in the league has had 2 11-win seasons at least. Washington hasn't had 1 during that time. They're on the verge of getting it. They are 4.5-point favorites in their Sunday night game at home against Atlanta. We will have time this week to talk about that game. I am going to be off for a few days this week following today. I know many of you are in your cars running around today, maybe heading out of town. Some of you may be heading into town. I know what kind of a busy day it is. And let me just say right now, so I don't forget, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for listening, but we got a long way to go today. We'll take your calls beginning right around 11 o'clock or so. Ben Standig will join us on the show. We'll go around the league a little bit, and we'll talk about the miracle late Friday night when it came to the RFK site. It's not over yet, but wow, what a turnaround from that roller coaster of Tuesday through late Thursday night. All right, my game take when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fourth and 11. Daniels steps up. Daniels needs inside the 30 with his legs. He'll get it. Jaden Daniels, a first down and more to the 11. Gets 30 yards on fourth down.
It's not even fair when he drops back and there's just a crease. God, he feels it. He sees it. He doesn't have to look at it. It's just part of the overall athletic profile, man. Vision, spatial feel is so important. And it's sometimes the most underrated part of athleticism. He's got it. He's got it all. Wow. What a performance by Jaden Daniels in a game in which they needed everything he had. Washington wins it 36-33 to get their 10th win. They are guaranteed no worse than a 10-7 record. The 10-7 still could be problematic if they were to lose the final two. Just win one. Either beat Atlanta Sunday night at home or beat the Cowboys in the finale, and they are a lock. They are in. They clinch with one more win. They could clinch with two losses, but you don't want it to get to that. And the sixth seed is very much in play as they are a half game against the Packers. The Packers still have to go next week to Minnesota. They play New Orleans tonight in the Monday night game. They are two touchdown favorites. And if you've watched Green Bay play recently, what a good football team they are. All right, let's get to my game take. So much to this game, so let's get to it. What I liked, what I didn't like, and a few other observations from the game. I'm going to start with the thing that I think probably impacted the final result more than anything else, just barely, over Jaden's brilliant performance. And that is Jalen Hurts leaving the game with a concussion in the first quarter. We can be objective about this. Washington torched Philadelphia's great defense. There's no doubt. And Jalen Hurts doesn't play defense. But when Jalen Hurts left the game yesterday, it was so impactful because it completely changed the game defensively for Washington. You know, they had already planned to load up the box like they did in the Thursday night game in an attempt to kind of slow down the Eagles' rushing attack. That was part of what their plan was. But when he left the game, they didn't just load the box. They packed it to where there was no room. They had 8, 9, sometimes 10 within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. See, there's a big difference with Jalen Hurts and Kenny Pickett in the run game. With Jalen Hurts, he's involved. So it's 11 on 11 in the run game. That's not what they do with Kenny Pickett. It's 10 on 11 in the run game. And it made a massive difference. And Washington did exactly what they should have done. They packed the box and they dared Kenny Pickett to check to the right plays and then to execute on those plays with his right arm. By the way, he wasn't terrible in the game and he made some really big time plays, but that was a poison that was so much different than not packing the box and allowing Saquon Barkley to do what he did in the first quarter to Washington with Jalen Hurts in the game for some of that anyway. That was a massive moment in the game. We can talk about how great we were and the team was offensively against a really good defensive team, but there's no tush-push with Kenny Pickett in the game, and the game changed completely. They were going through Washington very easily with Jalen Hurts in the game. Those first two drives were terrifying. I thought, uh-oh, I couldn't have been more wrong because I picked him to win on Friday. I had him in the smell test, 5-2-1 over the weekend, by the way. That's now 9 winning weekends in the last 10. And I did not feel good. I don't think anybody felt good after they went up 14-0, even after they went up 21-7 with Kenny Pickett in the game. But they had 150 yards rushing in the first quarter, 80 yards on the first two drives with Jalen Hurts in the game. Don't do the thing where you say it didn't matter because he doesn't play defense. I said that. I get it. I said it. And he doesn't play defense. But how often would the defense have been out there? How much less would their defense have been out there had Jalen Hurts been in the game with a 2-touchdown lead? That was a massive moment in the game. So I like that. That was number one. Him only playing 5.5 minutes of a football game that seemed to go on for days. That seemed to be 2 or 3 games wrapped up into one. Next up on my list is Jaden Daniels. So 24 of 39 for 258, 5 touchdowns. As mentioned, first quarterback in first rookie quarterback, just the second quarterback in the history of the league, rookie or vet, to throw for 5, throw for 250 plus, and to rush for 75 or more in a game. He was sacked once. He threw 2 picks. Both of them were on him, no doubt. You mark him down for those, obviously. But when you consider it was a game in which he dropped back 45, 46 times, something like that, if you count the scrambles and the penalties. You know, there are always going to be a few plays against a really good defensive team that you'd like to have back. You know, you're not going to be perfect against that team if you're asked to drop back 45, 46 times in a game. He was the team's only rusher, 81 yards, 9 carries. The 4th and 4 in the first half was really solid, but the 4th and 11 in the third quarter was, you know, truly one of his memorable runs of the season, and he's had a lot of them. The 12-yard scramble on the final drive where he just kind of juked, I think it was Zach Bond, who, by the way, is insanely good. That was a great run. Among his 24 completions, they were, you know, a variety of everything, and this is what's so fun about watching him is, you know, we talk about his playmaking ability, his scrambling ability, etc., but he can throw quick game. He can throw screens. He can throw timing, you know, comebacks, sideline throws, you know, throwing before receivers even at, you know, starting to go into his break. He's a great deep ball thrower. Yesterday, so much more than last week, of course, in New Orleans. The over-the-middle anticipation throws, including the game winner, are really spectacular. He does everything well. In timing, extended after something isn't there. A few of the throws that stood out. Let me go through my list here. The 51-yard bomb to Deami Brown in the second quarter. You know, it was nice to see that because they had missed on some of those deep shots last week. Same drive, 32-yard touchdown pass to Terry. Free rusher, unblocked, takes the big hit, drops it right in the bucket. By the way, that's a really good catch by Terry as well because it's over the shoulder. It's not an easy catch, but Jaden put it right where he needed to put it. The third touchdown pass that made it 27-21, where he got flushed right, needed to extend the play, and then he worked over to Zacchaeus. You know, I don't think that was anywhere near his first read. Really, really good throw, good play. It was a low throw. Zacchaeus made a nice catch, but to get it there as not a first progression was outstanding. There was a 2nd-and-10 throw to Ertz on the play before the 49-yard busted coverage, 12 men on the field, touchdown to Zacchaeus. That throw to Ertz was a beauty. Ertz played yesterday. He was less of a factor than I thought he would be in the pass game. He was only targeted twice, and that was his one catch, but it was a really good anticipation throw. And then the next one, you know, like, there are 12 men on the field, there's a busted coverage, and it threw off the play for both sides. You know, sometimes you see that, right? You know, the other team isn't doing what you're expecting them to do, and they've got 12 men on the field. I think I did read that he said he knew that they had 12 men on the field. So good for him for recognizing it. But you don't expect to see a complete blown coverage with 12 men on the field. But he was patient. He saw it. He found it. Not initially. And then he got it out there to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus made a great run after the catch for the touchdown. And then, you know, on the final drive, he makes a really good timing throw to Terry. You know, it was the play in which Terry caught it on the comeback and then rolled out of bounds. You know, no Gardner Johnson in that game was a factor for sure after he got booted. And then the touchdown pass to Crowder. I mean, there are a couple of things about that touchdown pass. Number one, you can't throw it short of the goal line. Cannot. The ball has to go into the end zone. You basically have two plays. You might have three, depending on the length of the first two. And they've got to go into the end zone because you have no timeouts left, and a ball short of the goal line ends the game. So he knows that. And it's just so, as great as he is as a playmaker with his legs, what makes him so, like, the idea that we are watching the first year of what could be a great career, knock on wood, no injuries, it all comes down to how good he is in the pocket, because we all know, as NFL fans, the playmakers, you have to have it. You got to be able to extend plays. You got to have a quarterback that can play off schedule, a quarterback that can hurt you with his legs as a runner. Dual threat helps as well in today's game. But the bottom line is, in big time games, in close games, you're going to have to deliver with anticipation from the pocket. And he's done that over and over again. That ball is out. It is to a spot with incredible anticipation where Crowder is going to be. And how about Crowder in his two games back? You know, a veteran pro receiver. That's a professional veteran throw by a rookie. You know, nothing's more important than needing a throw from the pocket on a condensed field with 10 seconds left and doing it with the right read, the anticipatory throw to a spot, the quick release, the accuracy. Brilliant. He's got everything. He's got it all. There's so many things that just impress me about everything, but the passing ability, number one, in terms of Jaden being a passer, we talked a lot about this, you know, leading up to the draft, is he's got great mechanics, but his release is so lightning quick. It's so quick, it's so compact, and he does it from so many different positions. You know, you've seen the quick release. You know, a lot of quarterbacks on that Terry throw, they have a throw impacted by a hit. It's just too quick of a release. You know, he's able to do it on the move, quick release, from the pocket, quick release, moving backwards sometimes, which I don't love, but he can throw it off his back foot with quick release. He can step into it with quick release. Is it Marino release? No, but it's one of the fastest releases in the game. It's a flick of the wrist, and then it's accurate most of the time. Let me stick with Jaden and some of the negative. because, you know, as mentioned, it wasn't perfection. So maybe calling it a masterpiece is inaccurate, because I do think that masterpieces tend to be without imperfections. I could be wrong. Nobody has a quarterback day against that defense that's perfect, against that coordinator, Vic Fangio, that's perfect. They had some injuries that benefited Washington. They had a player booted, Gardner Johnson, from the game that benefited Washington. But the two picks are really the plays that you look at. The first one with under 2 minutes to go in the first half, you know, that's not a hard analysis. It was an overthrow to Luke McCaffrey. He sailed it. Period. Not a good throw. Got away from him. Pick. The second pick with just over 3 minutes to go was kind of a bad one, because it was a bad decision. You know, and he doesn't make a lot of bad decisions. It was third and five. They really needed it. They're down by two at that point, 30-28. He's flushed with pressure, and he tried to make a play rather than take a sack. There was another option. He could have thrown it away and lived to play another down, a fourth and five, which we know this team in fourth down with him at quarterback is a pretty good bet. But he put it up into the air, and Slay got a piece of it and deflected it, and Blankenship pulled it down. Throwing it away and living to play fourth and five would have been a better decision there. So he gets dinged on a couple of those plays in the midst of his masterpiece, or near masterpiece. Some of his balls were low yesterday, but some of them were low intentionally. Terry had a couple of low balls that he pulled in. Zacchaeus had that one for a touchdown. And, you know, until you get the, you know, real expert, and I'm talking about, you know, coaches that will, you know, they know, you know, the reads that he should have gone here, he should have gone there. But in a game like yesterday, it's never going to be perfect. You just want it, you know, to be more perfect, more good than bad. And that was, you know, 6-1 for him. I talked about, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said he's basically checked every box that we wanted checked, but there was one box left for him to check, you know, and that is, how does he perform in a big game, in a game in which, you know, there's adversity? Can he strap the team to his back in a spot like that and do it? Well, yesterday that box was checked. By the way, the cold weather box was checked too. Never seemed affected at all by a rather cold day. Not brutally cold, obviously. Temperature at game time was 31, 32 degrees. It was sunny. There wasn't any wind. It was actually a beautiful day to play football. Look, was yesterday a do-or-die game? Was it a playoff game? Was it a win-or-go-home game? No, maybe that's another box that we... Of course it's another box that has to be checked. Yeah, he hasn't checked every box because he hasn't won playoff games yet. And quarterbacks ultimately get judged on winning those win-or-go-home games. He hasn't had one yet. He might have one in the finale at Dallas, but hopefully they clinch on Sunday night. His performance was an A, close to A plus, but with the two picks, and both of them were clearly on him, I'm going to give him a solid A. But considering the opponent, considering what they had to overcome, five turnovers, you know, injuries, you know, just everything that went on in that game yesterday, as I said, it felt like three games wrapped into one. A performance. Also on the list of things that I liked, let's face it, Philly helped yesterday. But, you know, every NFL game, you know, especially when you are the lesser team talent-wise, and Washington is overall the lesser team talent-wise, but you start with the DeVonta Smith drop just before the two-minute warning. If he catches the third and five, which he's wide open and Kenny Pickett makes the perfect throw, it's against Noah Igbinogheni, all right, Noah I in coverage on that play, loses him. DeVonta Smith is a great route runner. It should have been caught, and it would have been pretty much game over. I mean, you can do the math. It goes to 2 minutes. Washington's got one timeout left. So you get two 40-second plays. That's a minute 20. Plus you get the length of the plays themselves. You know, tack on another 10 seconds. So that's a minute 30. Then you get the punt. You get the kickoff after the field goal. And you're talking about Washington getting the ball back with 20 to 25 seconds in the game. No timeouts, needing a touchdown down 33-28. Of course, they made it happen against Chicago, and you can't put anything, as impossible for this particular team. But that drop, they don't have that final drive. They have, you know, maybe one or two throws and then a Hail Mary at best. So Philly's, you know, drop and drops during the game in general. A.J. Brown had a drop in the game. Devontae Smith, by the way, that was his first drop of the season. I read that this morning. The 10 penalties on Philadelphia really helped out. C.J. Gardner-Johnson getting booted. I'm not sure why he got booted, but it's two personal fouls. I thought the one, you know, between the quarters with him and De'Ami Brown, it was a bit strange that both teams weren't penalized. Both players, De'Ami Brown clearly pushes him, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson must have said something that was really bad, so they penalized him. But Philly's mistakes really helped. And obviously, you know, the loss of Jalen Hurts, which was number one on my list. Also on the list of good, this team's just been resilient. You know, all year long, they just don't ever seem to be out of it. You know, there's only one game that they didn't have a chance to win, the opener against Tampa Bay. You know, every other game, including their losses, you know, against Baltimore, against Pittsburgh, against Dallas, you know, they had chances in all of those games. They were down 14, you know, literally from the jump. They gave up 21 in the first quarter. The 68-yard touchdown run by Barkley, you're like, really? Oh my God, even with Hurts out, they can still run the football. Of course, it would change. They're down 13, 27-14 after barely touching the ball. They had one possession basically in the third quarter. But we've seen this kind of resilient, culture-driven, I think. You know, they'll certainly say that. I'm on board with that, where they're just never out of it. Continuing down the list of things from the game that I liked. I mean, Frankie Louvu, he's been their best defensive player all season long. I mean, Bobby Wagner's right there as well. Multiple tackles for loss in the game, and he had that huge interception. He kind of deked, you know, Pickett into believing that he was coming as a rusher and then dropped back, and Pickett threw it right to him, but he caught it. You know, last week in New Orleans, he had one right in his hands, and he didn't catch it. That was such a huge play in the game. It's 14-0, and they get a turnover, and they're set up deep in Philadelphia territory. Louvu's just outstanding all around as a rusher, as a tackler, as a relentless motor sideline-to-sideline defender. He's decent when he has to cover. I think he's their best and most explosive pass rusher. You can line him up anywhere. And I love Frankie Louvu, another outstanding game. I've got other defensive players to mention here in a moment, but let me mention a couple of other things that were more team-related. They were 3-for-4 in the red zone. Two touchdowns were on third down in the red zone. That was big. I had mentioned as one of my keys on Friday, you got to be plus one or better in the red zone comparison. Philly was 2-for-4. Washington was 3-for-4. Third downs were big for Washington yesterday. 7-of-13. They were also 2-for-3 on fourth downs, with the one stop coming on their opening drive at midfield when Brian Robinson Jr. got nailed. Philly, on the flip side, was 3-for-16 on third down. They were 3-for-3 on fourth downs, and they converted a couple of big-time fourth downs. And they should have been better than 3-for-16 on third down if Devontae Smith makes that catch. But third downs were huge in this game. The defense when Jalen Hurts left the game is on the list of things that I like. I really thought we were in big trouble You know, I have said for weeks on end that their Achilles heel is their rush defense. And I'm not talking about bad teams that can't run the ball or bad teams that get behind 21-7. You know, the games in which Washington's had where they've totally taken teams out of the ability to be two-dimensional and they have to throw the football. I'm talking about good teams that they faced in good games. Their inability to be consistent in stopping the run is a concern. It's still my number one concern. And early on, obviously, they were getting dominated. And then when Hurts left the game, it changed. I'm telling you, I wrote down three or four times, there are close to 10 players within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. We know what, you know, loaded box, single high, you know, three, you know, eight men in the box looks like. We understand that. And Washington's played a lot of that this year in an effort to stop the run because it is a recognized weakness for them. They've had trouble with gap integrity. They've had trouble in communication. They've had trouble tackling sometimes in some of those spots. I mean, they had 9 or 10 within 2 to 3 yards of the line of scrimmage countless numbers of times, daring Kenny Pickett to check and throw it. He did sometimes and did successfully, you know, at times, but not enough. Barkley had 109 yards in the first quarter on 9 carries. He had 150 for the game on 29 carries. That means 20 carries for 41 yards over the final three quarters with 5 TFLs behind the line of scrimmage. They rushed for 211 for the game, but 150 of that in the first quarter. That means 61 came in the final three quarters. I think if you look at it from a Philadelphia perspective, I think they ran it too much against 8, 9, and 10-man boxes. You know, I say 10-man, and you may think that I'm exaggerating. Some of that is press coverage where you've got, you know, a 9th and a 10th player at the line of scrimmage. But other times, they literally, it was like, it was odd-looking to see it. There were a couple of times I'm like, you don't see that very often. That many, you do in short yardage. I'm talking about 1st and 10. I'm talking about 2nd and 5. 2nd and 6, it was the right strategy. Give him all the credit in the world. Jalen Hurts leaves the game. That was the strategy with Hurts, but it definitely became the strategy with Pickett. Go ahead. Check to throws. Throw it to A.J. Brown and Smith. We'll give up the big chunk play. Barkley's not going to continue to destroy us because you don't have a runner at quarterback now. So on the list of things that I liked was just the run defense post Jalen Hurts leaving the game. Let me just give you a list of some of the players. You know what? I'll do that when we come back. I got to get to a break. I'll finish the list of things that I liked, get to the list of things that I thought were a problem yesterday, and then invite your calls, probably starting at 11:15, 11:20, a little bit later than I thought. But again, like I said, this game felt like multiple games in one. There was a lot to it. Bottom line is, though, 36-33, Washington, 10-5. And for those that said, all we need to find out this year is whether or not they got it right with the quarterback. We knew that ago. We definitely know it today. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Man here. Wants McLaurin. He's got him. Touchdown, Commanders. 32 yards. Two big ones through the air on this drive that goes 96 yards.
You know, we see it all the time as NFL fans, rookie quarterbacks struggling with seeing it, reading it, feeling the pressure and delivering under it. This guy has never been confused, except for maybe that first Thursday night game against the Eagles when there were 4 days to prepare. They hadn't practiced really with him healthy in about 2 weeks, and it was Fangio's first shot at a rookie quarterback. Other than that, he has been in control, and he has seen it. He's got great feel, a great understanding of the game. He's clearly a great preparation guy. One of the things we heard all offseason was, you're probably never going to hear anybody say about Jaden, yeah, he wasn't fully prepared. He's got it all. He does. What a win yesterday. And there were a lot of reasons that they won the game, but he was number one on the list. So we continue here with my game take. The things that I liked, you know, it started with just the bottom line when it comes to Philly. Jalen Hurts leaving the game with a concussion was significant, a significant play in the game. It changed the day defensively. I really think in many ways, defensively, we were headed for a bloodbath of a day. Not that Washington wouldn't have been able to respond offensively. They had been stopped on a fourth down. They had fumbled. But, you know, there was, and there's still a lot of game left. You know, that first quarter took about 50 minutes to play. But that was significant. Jaden Daniels, a performance, you know, and everything I went through. Philly's mistakes, the drop by Smith was massive. The penalties, Gardner Johnson getting booted was big as well. Well, the resilience of this team, we've seen it all year, but they're down 14 two different times, 14-0, 21-7. They're down 13 in the game, 27-14, facing a 4th-and-11 on the final play of the third quarter. And then obviously with a minute 52 to go in the game, they were down by 5 and scored. Luvu's on the list. The red zone difference, Washington 3-for-4, Philly 2-for-4 was big. Third down was big in the game. I thought clearly the defense stepped up after Jalen Hurts left the game, especially against the run. Here are some players that, for me, stood out. Offensively, you know, Terry had 5 catches, 6 targets. I think the one that he didn't pull in kind of hit his helmet, I think. The only thing about Terry that I wish he was more of a hands catcher rather than a chest and an arms catcher, because, like, the one that he didn't catch, you know, if you're a hands catcher and they're out there and you're catching it with your hands, it never gets in on you. But look, you know, he's having an incredible season. He's an incredible wide receiver. And that 32-yard touchdown catch was not easy. You know, it was the perfect throw, but it's not an easy catch either. I loved the way he came back and went low for a low ball in that final drive and then did a really good job of understanding the game situation and rolling out of bounds to get the clock stopped. Terry's on the list of things that I liked. I mean, Crowder only had 2 catches, 2 touchdowns. He's a reliable route runner. You know, he did bobble that one punt, but he's a reliable route runner. He's typically had great hands in the past, and it was nice to see Jamison Crowder. You know, he really, on the first touchdown, he really sold being a blocker on kind of a screen really well, and then slipped it into the end zone. And then, you know, Jaden makes a beautiful throw, but it's only completed if Crowder runs the exact route, and he was right there on time. What else? You know, Johnny Newton had a couple of plays in this game. Cleveland Farrell had the sack forced fumble that Philly ended up recovering. Fowler Jr. had some pressures. Wagner had some moments. I'm probably missing a few on defense. I can circle back to that later in the week. I thought Luke McCaffrey on kickoff returns was outstanding. He averaged 30.7 yards per kickoff return. He also caught that, you know, one bubble screen, and he's got good burst, good speed. It's what we've seen kind of all year long, is route running ability. We want him, you know, to touch the ball more, and now he's doing it as a kickoff returner. And to be honest with you, they lost something with Eckler overall, including kickoff returns, but I think they've replaced it with McCaffrey. They're going to probably have to start kicking to McNichols instead of McCaffrey. 30.7 yards per kickoff return. I thought their coverage all day was once again outstanding. Tyler Owens stood out. They had great field position. Both teams did, actually. But Washington averaged starting field position, the 35-yard line. They had the one bad start at the four, and they scored a touchdown on that drive. Had the bomb to Diami and the touchdown throw to Terry. But they had four drives where they started from at least their own 42 of them in Philly territory. Elliott's opening kickoff didn't hit the landing zone, so they got it at the 40-yard line. So good field position all day on offense was big as well. All right, the list of things I didn't like and a lot of other observations from the game when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.